Appreciate Vince's song selections today. They do tie in with the lesson. If you'd like to turn it over to Matthew chapter 25, where our scripture reading came from, that will indeed be our lesson this morning. The, if you would, thought generator for the lesson actually came from from Gary Henry's book on entitled Reaching Forward. It's a year-long devotional type book. And I was reading through and looking at the August 1st. Yes, I know it's only June 7th. What are you doing on August 1st? But I'm picking and choosing. I'm not going in sequential order. And I was looking at the August 1st one and read through it, and I thought, wow, that'd be a good sermon, especially since my good brother Vince informed me on Thursday that I was preaching on Sunday, which I got to talk to the scheduler. I'm used to preaching on the third Sunday, and it's like, how did that happen? So that's not Mike's fault. It's my fault for not looking at the schedule. But anyways, I was reading through this, and I thought, wow, he's got some really good thoughts here. But I didn't really steal his thoughts. I actually stole his title. And so his title of his the article that day was "Don't Be Impeded by the Impossible," and it was, if you would, about Matthew 25, and that's where we're going to go. Brother Jeff, sorry, Matt read Matthew 25 for us, so which I appreciated. So let's just kind of hit the highlights, if you would. Matthew 25: a master leaves on a journey. Excuse me, and entrust servants with different amounts of money, talents. The NIV said bags of gold, which I'm not really enthralled with that translation, but bags of gold, talents. One servant receives five, another two, another one according to their ability. The servant's usage of the talents transpires this way. The first two servants invest their talents and double. The third servant, afraid of failure, hides his talent instead of using it. When the master returns, he praises the faithful servants. Well done, good and faithful servant. And the faithful servants are rewarded with greater responsibility and joy. And then lastly, we have the servant who hid his talent is rebuked for wasting the opportunity through fear and inaction. So coming off of that led me to, if you would, the sermon this morning. So here you go. Insights and applications, if you would. The first thing I want to bring up, if you would, is I want to talk about the context. Jesus, in the next chapter, when you flip to chapter 26, begins, if you would, starts with the events or comes on the events with ultimately the taking of the Passover, the institution of the Lord's Supper, his arrest, and so on. But in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, he is explicitly talking, unlike to the public and people around him, is explicitly talking to his apostles or his disciples. And he's talking to his disciples right before his crucifixion. When I was thinking about this, it's like, because you know I'm big on context. And when I was thinking about this, it just kind of dawned on me, okay, he's, this 24 and 25 is to his disciples, to his apostles, if you would. And I asked myself, why is he telling them this? Why is he telling the apostles this, if you would, this kingdom parable, if you would? And he tells them this. He's telling them, this is my thoughts, telling them how to live while waiting for his return. Because what he's about to do, he's going to about go to the cross and he's going to die, be resurrected, sent to the Father. And guess who goes to work now? The apostles. It's going to be on them. It's going to be on them to carry the message out for as long as they live. It's going to be on them to do to carry the message, the gospel, into all the world, as the scripture talks about. And he's right before his crucifixion and says, hey, listen, there's work to do, and you got to go do it. One of the things that jumps out, and I think we've all heard, if you've heard lessons on this, you know exactly what I'm talking about here, but if not, one of the things that jumps out is verse 15. And that is, God knows what we can and cannot do. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Now I like that statement, each according to his ability. I like that because you can't expect me to fly a plane, and I hope you don't, because I cannot. Because every time I do it in a Microsoft simulator, it crashes. So I definitely don't encourage you to want me to be flying a plane. Okay. But you know, there are things I can do, each according to his ability. Some people can lead song classes. I will never lead a song class. I don't really know if I know how to sing or not, lead singing. I got a few things I can sing and I'm good at that. But what I found that I'm able to do, I'm finding I'm able, and we all are able, to study the scriptures. I'm found I'm able to, if you would, draw a few points. I have a voice to be able to stand up and talk about the scriptures and to lead Bible class. That's my ability. So in the kingdom of God, we all have different abilities. But each one of us has an ability to be able to do something. God has given, God has distributed, as other passages of scriptures talk about, gifts among among us, that we all have something that we bring to the table. And God knows what we can do. The problem is sometimes we don't want to accept what we can do. But we have to acknowledge that we can and move forward. I have seen men and women in this congregation sit or stand in front of public groups where they've never done that before. Ladies leading public discussions in the ladies' classes that never have done that before. Men giving short talks. Isn't that right, Brother Horace? Men giving short talks as he has done before. Something he's never done before. And he's doing it now. Rick leading short talks. And a couple times trying to encourage, say, hey, listen, you can probably make a sermon out of that. No. Okay, all right. Maybe not your ability. But we all have abilities to use in the kingdom of God. And that's what the parable talks about. Some have 5, some have 2, some have 1. But we all have abilities in the kingdom of God. Faithfulness, not comparison. Both the 5-talent servant and the 2-talent servant doubled what they were given. They were equally successful in their endeavors. Equally successful. They took what they had and they went off. They used it and they were successful. And I don't know if I remember if I put this in here or not, so I'm going to call it out now. If I do, I'll skip it later. Notice in verse 16, Matthew 25, verse 16, and he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 more talents. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. Went at once and traded with them. What does that mean? And went and put it to work. Okay? They went and did something with them. They went and used their abilities to further, if you would, increase what they had been given. And isn't that something that we all should be trying to do? Take what we have. God knows what we have. But we also are responsible for growing what we have. Not just using, but developing and enhancing the skills and the capabilities that we have in the service of the kingdom of God. And notice that they were equally successful. 5 and 2, pretty simple in the parable. Take a moment and look at this list of names. Some of you recognize the list of names. Some of you may not recognize some of these names. Some are still with us today, and others have passed. These men and women have made the difference in the lives of others. Some touching some of you personally, some touching me personally. And I know you can add many more to that list, and so could I, but I just kind of stopped here. But I'm going to tell you something, brethren. I'm not like them. I look at them and I think of superheroes of the faith. I look at them and their walk that they had or have with God, and I look at that and I think there is just no way I can compare. Do I really have a chance at eternity with God when I look at these men and women, these godly men and women who have walked or are still walking in this world in their service to God, and knowing their character and knowing who they are, do I really have a chance at eternity with God? But here's the problem. While I look at them and their example and what they do, God doesn't compare my life with them. God does not compare your output to anyone else's. He didn't compare the output of the 5-talent man to the 2-talent person to the 1-talent person. I don't see that in the parable. The 5-talent man just went out and did what he had. 2-talent man did what he had, produced the result. We'll get to the 1-talent man, as you well know, in just a moment. But the expectation is to do. Verse 16. Went at once and traded with. That's the expectation. Go and do. That's the expectation that God has for us. And if you would, that is success in the kingdom of God. You know, the one thing about teaching the gospel to others, reaching the community, handing out the Bibles, running into obstacles when handing out the Bibles. You're not responsible for their decision to not accept the gospel. That's not your responsibility. You know, it's Paul who was at Corinth who met some, if you would, persecution, who met resistance to preaching his preaching of the gospel there. And he went and shook his feet and said, basically, you know, you're responsible for your own selves. I'm shaking the dust off of my feet. Your blood be upon your shoulders. That's what Paul said. He's like, I'm done with you. But God did kind of tell me that night in a dream, you need to stay put, Paul. It's very interesting. Go back and look at it very carefully. God tells Paul, not so fast. You stay here and you keep working. And he does. And he stays for a year and a half. But the expectation was to do, and that is success in God's kingdom. Did you catch the praise? The same word spoken both to the 5 and the 2-talent servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, the 2-talent man, I didn't live up to the 5-talent guy. I only got 2. I tried. I did get 2, but I didn't compare. See, we can't compare. Each according to his ability. You have been faithful over little. Now, the 5-talent man might say, well, Lord, you gave me more. I was faithful over more than 2. No, there's no comparison there. Faithful over little, I will set you over much. You did what you could do. And that's the praise given in the story. Did you catch the reward? The same words were spoken both to the 5-talent man and the 2-talent servant. Enter into the joy of your master. If I tell them, whoa, wait a minute, I did a whole lot more. I got a lot more increase than I brought in five. He only brought in, no. You did what you're supposed to do with what you had. And so did the two talent men. They each got the same reward. Enter into the joy of your master. In Romans chapter 12 and verses 10 through 12, the text says, "For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. What is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God." Now, I put a little note up there on the slide, you know, negative. After further thought, I guess I should have put scary instead. Because it sounds very scary. In fact, if you would, and to some degree, you know, you would think, well, yes, it is scary because we're standing before God and we're having to give an account of ourselves. I don't think it's meant to be scary. In the context, my favorite word, in the context of Romans 14, there's a lengthy discussion about, if you would, strong brethren in the faith and weak brethren in the faith, and prominent and strong issue in the early church is the, you know, what to do with meat sacrificed to idols and participation in special days and not special days, and what do we do? And strong Christians were saying this, and weak Christians were saying this. And in the middle of all that discussion, this verse pops up. And I think Paul writes this not to scare people, but to say that each of us have a personal responsibility to stand before God. The five-talent man, the two-talent man, the one-talent man, each one has a personal responsibility that we stand before God. And I think we can look at it not necessarily out of a scary scene, if you would, but out of, if you would, a reverent fear, knowing that God's standard is holy and there's reassurance of hope, because this verse can't be taken out of its whole context, because the beauty part is, go back and read the opening chapters. Everybody has sinned, so everybody would be scared. But there is a solution in Christ Jesus. So everyone has hope and peace and saved from the wrath of God. But it does show us, if you would, what I said, accountability. We are accountable to God. What about this one talent man? Let's go back to our text, Matthew 25. "He who also received the one talent came forward and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest." Why did the third servant bury his talent? Well, the text says, "I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid." The servant was driven by fear. The fear of the impossible. In the parable, 5, 2, 1, each according to his ability, go and do something with it. Was it impossible for him to do something with it? He viewed the master as harsh, demanding, and unfair, so he hid it. Let me suggest to you that the five and the two talent people, servants, don't know how they viewed the master, but they went to work. But he's driven by fear. And fear, if you would, causes us to do nothing. Causes us to do nothing. And doing nothing is unacceptable in God's kingdom. At minimum, minimum, the very least a servant could have done was, as the text says, put it in the banks who will draw interest. I find that fascinating. Think about how the fact that the scriptures talk about making an interest, if you would, even in the first century. He didn't even do that. The most fundamental, simple thing he could have done, he didn't even do it that would have, if you would, brought back some return. Hiding is not the answer. You know, the encouraging truth about God is not a harsh taskmaster. And that's the beauty about, you know, when you look at the parable, that's the perception of the one talent servant. But God is not a harsh taskmaster looking for a reason to fail you. We've talked about that to extent. I say no more. He is a loving Father rooting for you to succeed. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, because we have so great a cloud of witnesses, because of all those who have gone before, looking down, you look at them, say, they did it, you can do it too. We do not serve God out of fear of punishment, but out of gratitude for His grace. When we understand His love, we find the encouragement to step out, take risk, and use our talents. You're willing to stand up in front of others and talk about the Word of God. You're willing to stand on the street corner in the heat on a Saturday and hold a Bible up in the air or a sign. You're willing to walk a neighborhood and hand out material. You're willing to talk to the, as Sister Joan would do often, talk to the cashier. Boy, don't you not like those people in the line? Like, I want to get my groceries and get out of here, and she talked to this person about going to church. Right. Well, I love it when they say, hey, what you doing? Or what did Jersey Mike's? We go there sometimes on the side. What you do today? Oh, we went to church. And we start talking about it. Boy, you talk about making people uncomfortable. They get uncomfortable quickly on the other side, and I think the people around us get uncomfortable, like, oh, are they going to start trying to disciple us or talk to us? Well, yeah, if you would want to listen. But when we understand His love, we find the courage to step out and take risks and do. Closing words. Our service does matter in God's kingdom. Let me just drive that home. Our service does matter in God's kingdom. You got 4 points there. If you want, I'll give them to you later. They actually sound, if you would, that sounded a bit corporately. Yeah, like 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, or a checklist. So we can talk about that later. I want to get to this. Don't ever forget why you do what you do in God's kingdom. Don't ever forget. Brother Gary Henry, in his book, he mentions about the big picture. The big picture. I want you to think what the big picture here is. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's the big picture. That's what we're here for. That's why we're serving God and serving in His kingdom. Because we want to do that right there. I like this passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore we do not lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For the momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What's Paul saying? Looking forward. Looking to heaven. I close with this passage on grace that we have been talking about a lot this year. But God being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that, I don't know if anybody's caught this, in verse 7, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You think we understand grace right now? And I know we're trying to. Wait until you enter heaven. Then we'll understand grace. That's what that verse is talking about. Might show the surpassing riches. We want to try to understand it now. There's something even better coming. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God has given us his grace. And that is his gift to us. And we've been talking about it at length in our Bible classes and in our sermons. And it's something for us to really take to heart. Thank you for listening this morning.